Good morning, everyone. Another wintry one. Well, let's see if we can warm up our hearts with the reading of God's Word and the consideration of another study in the little series that we are engaged in, seeking pictures of Christ in the Bible. We have been looking at the life of Moses. There are many likenesses to the Lord Jesus in Moses himself and in his life. Now we're going to read actually from the New Testament today, from Acts and the chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. This chapter is a wonderful resume. You know what that word means? A shortened version of many Old Testament events. Stephen is speaking to the Jewish leaders. He's been charged with wrongdoing, blasphemy. Of course, Stephen hadn't blasphemed. He had simply preached the gospel. Men consider the gospel a blasphemy. But in his defense, he tries to show to his fellow Jews that the Lord Jesus Christ was the fulfilling of all the prophecies, and how that his crucifixion and his resurrection was foretold very, very clearly in the Old Testament. And he mentions Moses in his speech before the leaders. I'm going to read from verse 22 of Acts chapter 7. Verse 22, and here's Stephen speaking now of Moses. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, 40 is an important number in the life of Moses. When he was 40, the incident that we're about to read of took place. And he went away down in order to escape the consequences of his actions in Egypt. He ran away, and he was 40 years in the desert. And then God brought him back again to lead Israel out, and he was 40 years leading the children of Israel to the promised land. So, 40 is an important number in the life of Moses. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and he was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there had appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. The famous burning bush. May the Lord bless the reading of these verses to our hearts today. We're looking for pictures of Christ. Particularly, we're looking for them in the life of Moses. And we have been giving you a number of likenesses, haven't we? Well, here's the fifth likeness in Moses to the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, from an early age, had an understanding that God was going to use him to deliver Israel. Now that is just like the Lord Jesus. See, the Lord Jesus knew what his purpose was on this earth. I'll give you the verse that proves that. You remember in Luke chapter 2, when his parents took him up to Jerusalem to the Passover, and then being caught up with all the hustle and bustle of what was happening in Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph headed home again, and they assumed that the Lord Jesus was, well, following them with the other boys of the families that they were associated with and were in the company of. And they were, a day out of Jerusalem before they noticed that the Lord Jesus wasn't there. And then they had to search for 3 days. And they found him. And where did they find him? Where they had left him. Oh, he hadn't run off and gone exploring on his own, as it were. No, he was still where they had left him. And Mary, his mother, was a little cross, as if it was the Saviour's fault, and of course it wasn't. And she said, "Do you not know that we have sought thee sorrowing?" And the Saviour's answer, and it's very important, he said, "Wist ye not," or "know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business?" 12 years of age. I could nearly ask for a show of hands of who is 12 here today. And if you are 12, then you understand just the age the Saviour was at. And he says to Mary, "Do you not realize that I must be about my Father's business?" 12 years of age, and he knew what his Father's will was for him. His Father's business, that is what he was about. Now, I don't think Moses was as young as that when he realized and he became aware of what God's will was for him. But there can be no doubt that long before Moses took up the leadership of Israel, he knew what God's will was for him. That's why I read to you the portion in Acts chapter 7. Because there we read in the verse 25, speaking of Moses, "He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them." So that day when Moses, who was still considered a prince of the royal house of Pharaoh, went out to see his brethren and saw one of the Egyptian guards, supervisors, abusing a Hebrew, Moses intervened, defended the slave that was being abused by the guard, and defended him so well that the guard was killed. Now the next day he was out again to see them, and he saw two Hebrews fighting. And he got in between them and he said, "Brethren, what are you doing?" And one of them, the aggressor, he said, "Who do you think you are? Are you going to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian?" Now Moses thought the Hebrew, his fellow Hebrews, would understand that God was going to use him to deliver them from the Egyptians. But when that man said that, Moses realized, they don't understand. They don't realize that God is going to use me. Of course, do remember this, that Stephen is trying to show the Jewish leaders that what they had done with the Lord Jesus is what the Hebrews at the first had done with Moses. He was rejected, even though he was God's deliverer. And so they had rejected the Lord Jesus. This is the purpose of Stephen's whole speech, the thrust of his whole speech. But we can pick up on that little point. Moses knew, long before the burning bush, when he was 80 years of age, took place, the incident there, the encounter there with the Lord, long before that, at least 40 years before that, Moses knew that God was going to use him to lead the people out of Egypt. So, like the Lord Jesus, long before he undertook the mission that God had for him, he knew that God had this mission for him. And so it was with the Savior, 12 years of age. And he knew he had business to do for his Father. But now, boys and girls, let me tell you, although we're looking at likenesses between Moses and the Lord Jesus, Moses was not perfectly like the Lord Jesus. Let me illustrate what I mean. Has anyone ever said to you, as they've looked at you, "Oh, you're just like your daddy," or "You're just like your mommy"? Anybody ever said that? Of course they have. But if you said to them, "Oh, what do you mean?" "Well, you have your daddy's nose, or you have your daddy's eyes, or you have your daddy's smile, or you have your mother's hair." They're only able to pick out little bits of you that look like your mommy and your daddy. Because you might have the nose of your mommy and the ears of your daddy. Or you might have the smile of your mommy and the chin of your granny. You're not a perfect likeness to either of your parents. There's bits of you don't agree with how they look. Do you understand? Well, in like fashion, although we must never forget that there were in Moses, in his person, in his character, likenesses to the Lord Jesus, there were things that were not like him. And what we have read in Acts chapter 7 highlights some of the things in which Moses was not like the Lord Jesus. You see, Moses acted foolishly. Now, when Moses came to an understanding of the fact that God was going to use him to lead Israel out of Egypt, what age he was when he came to that understanding, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't come to him just the day before he went out and had this encounter with the Egyptian guard. I'm sure he had an awareness of God's will for his life sometime before that. When exactly, I don't know. It's not important. But he did have an awareness. But he acted presumptuously. He took upon himself to act, thinking, well, God wants me to lead the people of Israel out, therefore I'll get at it now. And when he saw this incident with the Egyptian guard, he said, I'll start now. I'll start by intervening here and I'll do away with this guard. That'll be the start of my delivering of Israel. But we know it didn't work. He didn't wait on God. He didn't seek God for the time in which this work of deliverance would begin. He just took it on himself to begin. And again, when things didn't work out for Moses as he thought they would, he ran away. He ran away down to Midian, into the midst of the desert. And again, when 40 years had passed, and the Lord appeared to him in the bush, the burning bush, and the Lord said to him, in the burning bush, I'm going to deliver my people out of Egypt, and you're the one that I'm going to use. You're going to be the deliverer, Moses. Moses answered God and said, who am I that I should go on to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He was most reluctant now. He was unwilling indeed. And if you read on in Exodus chapter 3, you'll see he argued with God quite a number of times. Having tried on his own 40 years earlier, and it didn't work out, and he had to flee from Pharaoh because of what he had done to the Egyptian guard, he had given up all idea that he would be the deliverer. And when God came and said, I'm going to send you now to Pharaoh, Moses began to make excuses. He was most unwilling, most unwilling. And the point is, boys and girls, that in all these little matters, Moses was not like the Lord Jesus. He was not like him. Oh, yes, there are many likenesses to him, but oh, we've got to observe that there were matters in the life of Moses that were very different from the blessed character of our Savior. The Lord Jesus was never reluctant. The Lord Jesus never ran away from the will of God. The Lord Jesus never acted outside of his Father's will. He always did his Father's bidding at his Father's time. You can read that again and again and again through the Gospels, where the Savior makes statements like this. He would say, the time has come. The time has come. The Savior was working to a timetable. His Father's timetable. Moses, he had been foolish. And because he understood God was going to use him to lead Israel out of Egypt, he just assumed, okay, well, I can start just when I like and do it whatever way I want to do it. And he was wrong. Instead of waiting on the Lord and being guided by him. There's a nice verse in Psalm 40, and we'll conclude with this. Psalm 40, and the verse 8 is a revelation of the Savior's heart. The words are David's, and it's a statement by David concerning himself, but it's a statement spoken prophetically, and it fits the Savior perfectly. It didn't fit David all the time. David wasn't always in this frame of mind that these words indicate, but the Savior always was. What do the words say? Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. Now we know there were times that was not true of David, but those words were always true of the Lord Jesus. I delight to do thy will. Even going to the cross with all its agonies and sufferings, and the dark, dark torments that the Savior would face, the like of which you and I cannot even begin to imagine. The Lord Jesus still delighted in doing that. Why? Because by doing that he would save his people. That was the joy that was set before him. I have read in the newspapers of people who needed a transplant. Maybe they needed a transfusion of blood, and their blood was a very, very special type. Or they needed a transfusion of bone marrow, and theirs was a very special type. Or they needed a kidney, and there had to be someone who would match their need. And suddenly, a member of the family, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, an aunt, an uncle, somebody would step forward, and they would say, "The doctor tells me I'm a match for you, and I'll provide you with what you need." Now the doctor would say to that person, "Now do you understand what this means? This is going to mean suffering for you, this is going to mean pain, surgery, in hospital for a period of time." And the person has said, "No, it doesn't matter. I don't mind bearing those things as long as I can help my loved one." That's a tiny illustration of the delight the Savior had in doing his Father's will in order to save his people. God's law was in the Savior's heart. That's what ruled the Savior. He was completely submissive to his Father's will. Moses, we're looking at the likenesses, but this morning we've looked at some of the things in which Moses wasn't like the Lord Jesus. And we did that in order to show how wonderful our Savior is. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. We're bowing in prayer. O God, our Father, how blemished we are as sinners. And yet, Lord, we thank thee today that each one here that's saved has within them now some likeness to the Lord Jesus. They have been born of a spirit, and they have become like him in at least some way. Lord, may that likeness grow and increase. May they be more and more conformed to the image of our Savior. Bless your word to every child, I pray, and every member of staff, and undertake for our school, for all the concerns and anxieties there are, Lord, regarding the health of loved ones and friends. Answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.